think we should do a quick call to order. Can everyone just identify themselves? I'm Yoni from the Rental Services Commission.
Christina Dirks.
Laura Golino de Lobato.
Mike and Deborah.
Deborah MC.
All right, we got everyone here and we are called to order.
Right.
So I'll just kick it off. I think we have a lot to work through this session. I think a couple points were brought up in the last full RSC meeting about our progress, and I think we need to aim to have some materials to give to the group as a whole, for at least for discussion's sake, probably at the next August meeting. Would everyone agree to that based on the conversation we had last week at the full meeting?
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree.
And one of the fundamental points that came up, which I think is linked, I mean, Laura made a great point in connecting it to kind of the bylaws overall, but it's kind of like an entry point into our discussion, is the nature of what we do and how we want to be held accountable for transmitting public testimony to some other entity, most likely City Council. And I think we probably should all contribute to this conversation, because this conversation, in my estimation, is something that has to be decided by the whole RSC, but we probably need to have something thought out in terms of boundaries, ideas, just kind of like basically creating borders around what we feel the scope of the RSC is in terms of dealing with public testimony. And really the question is do we want to take on the role as an agency, or as an agency, as a subcommittee or as a rental services committee, of being a liaison for public testimony and directly handing that over and, you know, giving that to City Council and then potentially monitoring responses. I personally feel that might be beyond the purview of what our practical capacity is as a group, but also I think it's worth exploring whether we feel as a group that exceeds the scope of the ordinance that created this. So I think that's pretty much all I have to say for an introduction. And I'm open to any thoughts. I don't have a solid opinion on any of this. I just wanted to frame the things I've been thinking about over the last week or two since the last RSC meeting.
Yeah, I'm glad you used the word capacity, because I think you nailed it on the head. That's going to require a significant time capacity that I don't think anyone really committed to when they signed up for the RSC. And then also directive from the City Council on why the RSC exists, that, in my opinion, goes a little above and beyond what they mandated. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to do something like that, we really need to think about who's going to monitor it, who has time, capacity, willingness, and desire to do it, and then also probably get some feedback from City Council. And, you know, City Council may not want to have another route or liaison for public testimony that they need to review.
Yeah, I appreciate those points, and they kind of both go hand in hand. I think there's kind of two topics when it comes to public engagement of the Rental Services Committee. Number one is general access from the public to bring up issues at any point when there's a public testimony window. And the second one is kind of not only providing access, but what we do in reaction to providing that access. And so my sense is, like, we want to provide as much public access as possible, whether it's at each meeting or whether it's scheduling listening sessions devoted to either specific issues or centered around the concerns of specific community groups or community members or business leaders. And you know, so I'm in favor of kind of, I guess, just to put something on the table, expanding access so people feel they can testify. And then in terms of that second part of handing over communication from the public to City Council, I kind of feel like I'm most comfortable, if people want to submit written testimony, then maybe we can provide that written testimony to City Council. But I just, I'm not sure how it would work for us to hear the testimony, summarize it, and then find the appropriate people or bodies in City Council to address these issues. And then in terms of capacity, I'm just not sure monitoring or waiting for a response is something that we can do effectively, because some things can be responded to within 48 hours and other things, I think we've all had experience, you wait months or potentially years to get an answer. So anyway.
Yeah, I think I would add to that. So I want to ask for one point of information from Andres. We've got in the bylaws the purpose, but there's also in the charter, I think it's where it contains that statement about the RSC being the forum for public input. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where I feel like we're sort of stuck, because mm-hmm. I think that that's set expectations for some, both members of the commission and for some members of the public, that, you know, one is that public input or a forum for the public is RSC, mm-hmm. and then what does a forum mean? And then when we look at our bylaws, it doesn't say that specifically. Mm-hmm. And to your point, Yoni, about capacity, so I feel like I've been thinking about this since the last meeting. Okay. I think we sort of have to step back and say RSC can be a venue for people to come and give public testimony, and that should always be part of the meeting. And we can hold listening sessions. Mm-hmm. But I think beyond having those public comments recorded for the record and forwarded in some way, perhaps by PHB staff to the PHB director or to City Council in full, I don't really think we do have the capacity to do anything beyond that, unless it's what we talked about, right. That there's a particular right. issue that one RSC member says, wow, that is really nailing an issue that ties together yeah. the rest of what we're doing. I really want to hang on to that. Because I think otherwise we're setting ourselves up, if we don't clarify this now,
yeah.
I think we're just going to continue going down a road where we're going to be unsuccessful and we're going to continue to butt heads around right. you know, what it is we're supposed to be doing. And
I also think yeah. we delegitimize the purpose of the committee, of this RSC, if we are held accountable for conveying public testimony and taking a position that we can't necessarily be held accountable for.
Right. I mean, we're not an action-taking right. body, so that's the other thing, is that we can't make promises to anyone who comes to RSC that their issue will be addressed by anybody
by
in
anybody.
A decision-making role
right.
or even by us. But it will be recorded, and it's part of the formal record, and I think mm-hmm. we could say we would like PHB staff to consolidate that input and, you know, and on a regular basis after each RSC meeting, send that to City Council
sure.
or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's also, returning to the charter, like you said, Laura, looking through it, there are a few times it's mentioned the topic of public input. So the RSC is designated as the primary public forum for the discussion of landlord-tenant housing regulations and programs. I think that was intended to say this is a public body, it will meet and discuss publicly, these conversations will happen here at the RSC, so anytime screening and security deposits are being worked through, mm-hmm. Rental registration is being discussed, relocation implementation is being discussed, it's going to happen at this public body. So I think that that's what that speaks to. It provides a forum for public input, so I think that speaks to receiving public testimony and the Commission's decision to have listening sessions to provide additional public input forums. And then under community involvement, provide an inclusive forum of the community's discussion of its landlord-tenant housing needs and priorities. And so I think, again, that speaks to this idea of making sure that
the RSC is considering barriers to engaging and to testimony, and that it is trying to reduce those to allow the community to participate in the discussion.
I think, yeah, and the key word for me there in all of those things you cited is discussion, not further research or decision making. So I think that the key takeaway for me is that this commission provides that place where people from the public can make their voice heard, but it doesn't then necessarily put on us the onus or obligation of carrying that input through its full course of needed that's action, right, with the exception of some RSC member picking it up. And I think that's where we're getting a little bit stuck, or that's where we're seeing it differently than Margo does.
Yes.
I think we just need to have the larger conversation about our thinking behind this and present what we want, what we have come up with, and have just a conversation to get everybody on the same page, or feel out where there's disagreement and what those disagreements are, and if we can work through them.
I think so. I think that's a good approach, Christina. To kind of try to synthesize everything that's been said from a couple good ideas from Mike and Laura. You know, if we come into the next rules and the next RSC full body meeting and we propose something along the lines of expanded access, listening sessions, public testimony, explaining that the what a public forum means, it means it's a place for discussion to influence a conversation, but doesn't necessarily lead to individual kind of relayance of every message, but then offering kind of, I'm curious of people's thoughts on this, offering, like Laura said, any individual commissioner at any point has the right or the scope or opportunity to take anything they hear in public testimony, draft their own letter as a member of the RSC, and submit that directly to council as a personal liaison, as their personal kind of commissioner seat, right? That kind of takes the pressure off of the staff and the body as a whole to be on the same page about everything. But if it's an issue that's kind of in the scope of the ordinance that created the RSC, then I think any commissioner should feel free to try to elevate that to whoever they see fit at the city level.
Right, or even to the commission itself as an agenda item. I think that advocating...
That's what we've been talking about.
And that's what we... So I think either option is appropriate for... But I think it's that difference between feeling like there is an obligation to follow up, or an implied commitment to follow up when somebody brings an issue. That's the part that for me is just and I'm not, I think that there are a lot of important issues that individuals bring to RSC, and many are really valid and important, and wow, it would be great if we could figure out a way to move those. But I just think, sort of, you know, to what you and Mike said about capacity, I just don't think that that's going to be practical, doable on a practical basis.
Yeah, and I think we also have to be mindful that the individual members on the committee need to remain invested in kind of the return they get from the committee.
And not only that, but the committee is a body.
Right.
Our work is, so if we respond to every single thing that an individual says, then we're sort of conducting our business in a way that is contrary to what I interpret as the outline of what we're supposed to be doing.
Did we determine how, if a commissioner wanted to pick up an issue from public testimony and kind of move it forward, had we talked about what the process would be to get that kind of on the work plan?
I think needs to be fleshed out still. So the group had discussed comparing it to the RSC's charter purpose, but it hadn't really identified who or how.
Yeah, I mean, because I think that's what's going to be inherently challenging in the nature of this body, just the composition of the body, you know, right? Not that we're necessarily on separate sides of the table, but you know, we represent different interests, and so I think that's something we're going to need to think through more and talk more about, maybe as a larger group, because there is something inherently that will make it challenging, I think, to advance any one issue independently as a commission member.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we had talked about, to what Andres said, we had talked about doing that as a body, saying,
yeah,
okay, this is, but we haven't gotten into the nitty gritty,
yeah,
of how. I mean, we talked about a vote or an action, but we didn't really get into the
mm-hmm.
nitty gritty of the, you know, what the procedure looks like.
Yeah, and that kind of ties into to the larger question about, in general, how do we triage the things we're working on, whether it's coming from the mayor, city council,
mm-hmm.
the bureau, or an individual commissioner raising it. I think that really probably everybody's looking for clarity as to what we want to prioritize as a group to stay the most relevant and to be most in line with our kind of enabling act or whatever the ordinance is. It seems to me that it makes sense to be on point with things that council has notified the body and the bureau that is going to be coming up, kind of like we do with tenant screening
mm-hmm.
criteria and security deposit things. I think that things like the rules and regulations for RELO and the FAIR Act and all those things are definitely important to be a part of. But then after that, the question is always, how do you fit in the things that are not most urgent and have productive time for dialogue as a group so we're able to balance all the priorities, right? Because we know what we want to prioritize, but then other things come up that the group wants to talk about whether we should prioritize.
Yeah, I, at the risk of talking too much, I sort of see that as a reset on our work plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of once we get through this conversation around how we manage public input and
mm-hmm.
those things is to go back to sort of the work plan concept and
mm-hmm.
say, what's out there that RSC could add value to as a conversation
mm-hmm.
that leads to an important decision?
Yeah.
And, you know, and pick like three things
mm-hmm.
and then conduct our work over the course of whatever cycle that is, whether it's 12 months or whether it's,
sure,
you know, 10 and a half months because that aligns with the budget
mm-hmm.
process or whatever. But really just sort of step back and say, yeah, Mayor, we had your list. Yes, Commissioner Udala, we know you're pushing
yeah.
out legislation and other city council
right.
members, but we also are seeing and hearing all these things,
right.
and this is what rises to the top, knowing that
sure.
we can't address
sure.
everything.
And maybe, just playing off of what Laura's saying, and anyone should feel free to chime in. I apologize if I'm monopolizing the conversation.
No, I'm monopolizing the conversation.
I'm happy to shut up at any point, but it seems to me like maybe the best thing is to define what we know we can do in terms of both public access, public testimony, and creating a procedure to prioritize what we work on, but then making sure that we leave a window in each meeting that is for free discussion, the things that we haven't yet put on the agenda, 10 minutes to discuss whether and how. Meaning like an open kind of 10 minutes where people can say, they can either react to public testimony and bring up kind of sponsoring an opinion to city council, or just chime in about other things that they've heard going on in the community that they need more feedback on, that they want to be briefed on. So that kind of creates an opportunity each meeting for the whole group to decide. I'm not sure that's the most effective way, but I don't want to overprescribe.
I think there's some role for the executive committee here, right? To
yes.
take people's ideas I think that may be too prescriptive.
Sure.
So to take people's suggestions, they could receive them in any format at any time, right, from
right.
commission members.
Right.
And then as they come in, maybe bring them to the group and talk about them. I don't know if there's a, like, a weighing factor, a voting factor, what that looks like in terms of how do we get it from that point on to the work plan. I don't know.
And I think that's appropriate. We talked about that at one meeting a while back, mm-hmm. about using, mm-hmm. you know, leveraging the executive committee as sort of the deciders
yeah.
on some of this stuff. But I think it's also understanding that, you know, it's that balance between, well, we've got a work plan, assuming that we go that direction, we've got a work plan, and then these things that come up. So we have this structure, but we want to be flexible to things that arise that might be
yeah.
critical, that don't tie to one of the three or four items mm-hmm. in the work plan. And so how, you know, I think this subcommittee making a recommendation to the full RSC to say there has to be a mechanism for the full commission to address mm-hmm. something, and we think maybe that decision lands with the executive committee because they're sort of maybe, you know, seeing the whole thing and they're the executive
committee. I'm all for that. Do you guys think that the group as a whole would have a little bit of pushback about letting the executive committee decide those things? And should we be prepared to address kind of, well, what happens if I still want it discussed and the executive committee decides no?
I think the overall work plan with the, you know, the whatever priorities, I mean, three or four is what works mm-hmm. in my mind, but people have different ideas. But I think that's something that the whole group has to discuss.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I think that's a good use of the executive committee.
Sure.
And frankly, I would say, you know, the monthly RSC meetings that I come to, I would like to address what's on the work plan and not get in a discussion
yeah.
about,
that's
I want this to be on
about.
The agenda and I don't, you know, it's sort of the executive committee can serve as like a gatekeeper or a way to address the process. So we actually are doing work at our meetings
yeah, yeah.
and not talking about
yeah,
process.
Yeah, yeah.
There should be, I mean, in addition to what's outlined in the ordinance, there should be some kind of criteria that they're using when they assess these issues
right,
because
yeah.
it can
right.
be like, I don't want, that issue doesn't move me. I mean, that's not the relevant question, right? The relevant question is, does it advance the dictates of the RSC, and is it feasible? Like, can we actually do something too?
That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is it feasible?
I think there has to be some criteria. And I don't know who creates that criteria. If it's us, if it's them, we just create it as a group,
mm-hmm.
which sounds like ad nauseum conversations. But
yeah,
there has to be some guidelines,
right?
Yeah.
Objective,
right? And I would not be opposed to having the executive committee recommend, these are the criteria we're recommending that it's used to evaluate
yeah.
additional topics. And again, that way, you know, if I'm really that motivated to argue that methodology, I could go to the executive committee meeting
yeah.
and speak up.
That's right.
And I think the question comes, well, what if there's more than so many that meet this, you know, a number that's beyond the capacity to actually address them, right? So say there's six things that people have recommended, not that I foresee that happening, but there's six things and they all meet this criteria. What do you do with that then, knowing that you can't, you know, it's not feasible to get through all of them?
Right.
And then does the body vote? You say you have to pick three, pick your top three, but everybody has to vote. They can't abstain because then that's going to lead to some weighting issues
mm-hmm.
about, you know,
mm-hmm.
who's on what side of the fence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where I think the work plan comes in,
mm-hmm.
too, because if we've gone through the time and discussion of work plan priorities, then those six things come up. One of the relevant ways to address these additional items is, yeah. Is it already addressed in a work plan item? Right. Does it fit in with work plan, you know, something like that. But again, I would say a good process would be for the executive committee to evaluate
Yeah.
Besides facilitating the meeting, one of the core responsibilities of the executive committee is to set the agenda and work plan. And the way we've done that in the past is that at any time the body can make motions and change the work plan or the agenda. And so if someone, we got to a meeting, they saw the agenda, people didn't like it, someone can always make a motion to change the agenda and vote to revise it. Or similarly, we always vet both the agenda and the work plan with the executive committee. And so when we bring a work plan proposal to the RSC, I've usually tried to present it as a proposal. And if there are changes that people would like to make, that is always something that people can do. Mm-hmm. And so that can also be a default mechanism of having them set things. And then at any time, the body can revise its own process.
A couple of thoughts on transparency for the public. Do we have that proposed work plan as a published document on PortlandOregon.gov?
We do not, because there is no current work plan. When there was a work plan, it was always published with the meeting documents.
Okay. So that's one thought is, even if we don't have a work plan published, if we have a vetted topic list that will eventually become part of the work plan, might be a good idea so the public can see, hey, this is on their radar. But when it comes again to transparency with the public, I think it's really important that people understand that we are not a rulemaking committee.
Right.
In that, okay, so say public testimony happens, that gets elevated through whatever system we create to then eventually make it to the work plan. Well, you know, what are the expectations from the public at that point? I mean, we may talk about it at one meeting, but then what's the takeaway from that? We're not creating rules. If the takeaway is to create a letter of opinion to send to city council, kind of like we have on the other ordinances that have come across our plate, then we also need to think in time frame of those letters are not easy to create. So what is the ultimate deliverable from having it on the work plan and actually working it through a process?
Yeah, and I think that goes back to Christina's point about the criteria. So if the criteria is established in a way that sort of ties back to what do we do with it?
Yeah, totally. That ties somewhat too to the charter, which we're here as a body to make recommendation. So for the criteria, right, number one is have we been asked by the mayor or city council to make a recommendation on a particular thing? Number two, have we been asked by the bureau to make a recommendation on a particular thing? And then the third set of criteria would be how does the executive committee decide which other issues not coming from those bodies to elevate to the whole group to the point of taking a formal recommendation. And I think for that, you know, for number three, that third set of criteria about issues not on the work agenda by default, that's a conversation to have with the group, right? How do we want to support the executive committee in making those decisions to narrow down the agenda beyond what we're already being asked to do, and how do we fit that in schedule-wise with between schedules that have shifted drastically on the things we're working on, right, by either months or days at different points in time.
Just had another thought.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I forgot. It just slipped my mind. Can I slightly change the subject a little bit?
Yeah.
So I think the other piece that I think pertains to us as the R&B committee it is the whole idea of the creation of subcommittees. And we had talked early on in the formation of the commission about subcommittees and the challenges around subcommittees because it's a public body. And I sort of recall that we had discussed the challenges with subcommittees and that we were sort of looking to avoid that. But I wonder, and maybe not, maybe avoid's the wrong word, but I wonder if that's a whole other piece of how we accomplish our work, whether it's work that comes from these things that are on the public input that then go to the executive committee and then are decided, you know, is there going to be conversation of, well, a subcommittee could work on that? And so I sort of, at the last meeting, last RSC meeting, I walked away feeling like, wow, I need a little bit more clarification around when, why, and we would create a subcommittee and how that would work with a public body. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to bring it up here because I didn't know whether or not rules and bylaws it would govern sort of how subcommittees work. Mm-hmm.
So I think that there aren't any current additional requirements around committees that are smaller parts of the RSC. They're subject to public meetings law. And in terms of what you were referencing of challenges with capacity, I think that was a broader commentary of the Housing Bureau at this point in time is supporting a large number of advisory bodies, and some of them, like the RSC, are actually three different public bodies that all have to be staffed and noticed and maintained.
And that would be the same with committees, yes?
Yes.
Would have to be staffed and noticed and maintained. And
right.
I think that was where sort of in my mind, that's a very logistical and challenging issue. If you really want to follow through on starting a committee and having it do work, you've got to make sure that you've got those pieces in place to do it.
That's interesting.
And so as a bureau, we are trying to avoid this getting away from what we can manage, just because for a bureau of our size, we are supporting a large number of advisory groups that are public bodies. I know one of the ways that we've handled it in different situations, for example, with PHAC, the Housing Advisory Commission, when a recent topic that came up was bike parking. So the Bureau of Transportation is working through a proposal around bike parking requirements in multifamily buildings. And there are a couple members on PHAC who are very interested in the topic and really want to dive into it and engage more thoroughly. And so they volunteered to meet with Housing Bureau staff, with PBOT staff, and with planning staff. And that was not a public meeting. That was not an additional body. That was just some members of the group meeting outside of the public meeting to work more on a topic.
So that's not really a subcommittee.
No, that was just how they delved further into the topic and met with the relevant staff who were already working on that project, since it was an existing project.
Right, mm-hmm. So that's one tactic that could be used.
Yeah,
I just felt like we needed clarification, because I think that throwing out the idea that we're going to create a subcommittee, I think there's a little bit more behind that than when it is a public body.
That will come up before, the group will bring that up.
Yeah,
and
that's why.
It's good to prepare your story.
Yeah. I know Margo was speaking to wanting a subcommittee on public testimony or listening sessions. Do you know more about what her thinking was, why it needed to be a subcommittee? Is this something that just...
No, but I think it's because we each carry with us different definitions of things, and I think that her, and this just a guess, but I think that her idea was, if it's a subcommittee, it would be a smaller group, and therefore progress could be made faster. It could be, more goal area oriented and made faster. Mm-hmm. But it's just complicated by the fact that this is a public body. This is not like a board of directors of a nonprofit where you just go, two people are a subcommittee and they do the work. So that's the sense, because I got the sense from her too that what she's looking for is action and progress and let's do this because it's important, and I don't disagree with that. It's just that I feel like we have to understand the legal things that may make it a little more challenging to create a subcommittee. So that's my guess.
From what I remember of what she's mentioned, I think her interest was in creating a subcommittee that would review the testimony received and then kind of figure out how to respond to it. And so are we recommending that we need a new project to tackle this issue raised in testimony? Are we sending a letter to the mayor or a property management company about this particular testimony we heard? And so to create like an ongoing group that responds in actionable ways to testimony.
And so that's where I have another issue, right? Is that I don't feel that it's RSC's role to respond.
Right.
We're a forum and there's discussion. If that's what the RSC decides, that that's what we are, is a responsive commission, then I think we are going to have a serious conversation about what else comes off our plate.
I agree.
And so that's the other sticking point with me, is this expectation that we are there to respond, and this idea that people are going to come and testify at RSC and have action taken on their issue. That's not a bad goal, but I think we have to all be on the same page that either is or isn't what we're trying to do.
I think that's a useful way of framing the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think too that, you know, when we started these conversations about restructuring the bylaws, we did it with the goal of recognizing, number one, that the RSC is functioning pretty well as is, that people feel invested, they want to continue to show up, and that the goal was to adapt the bylaws to the way the current function of the RSC occurs. And I'd just like to caution us against making very drastic changes to the way the bylaws, the group currently functions, because it could have the effect of, you know, losing the substance to our sandwich, which is the people showing up and people contributing and feeling like they have a predictable expectation of what they can contribute as a group member. If we start creating too many subcommittees or side projects, it kind of will revamp things in a way that I'm not sure will always be good for the group as a whole.
This is Deborah. I just wanted to weigh in, basically sort of in agreement with the concept of that I don't see us as being a response, you know, forum. Yeah, I think we take input, it gets on the it's recorded, it's on the public record. I've experienced way too many groups that start having subcommittees, and pretty soon the subcommittees are their sort of side mission doesn't line up with the group as a whole. And then, sort of getting to Yoni's point, then the group as a whole is impacted.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, we have to be very careful that we don't, you know, go off on too many side shows and then lose sight of doing some meaningful work as an entire group.
Thanks, Deborah.
Yeah. For the folks who are online, this is Kim McCarty in the room as well. I just wanted to chime in on that point as well, that the public testimony that's given and the record that is made in some ways is the response.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the committee so chooses
mm-hmm.
that to be the response, that we're giving you the opportunity to have a conversation, our response back to you is that we're going to make it public. And then there's also an opportunity then for the executive committee to, with the whole committee, to pick from what is said.
Yeah.
That this is what rises to the top for us,
right.
And we may or may not put that on the agenda in the future for future conversation.
Right,
okay.
And I well said, and I
well
think
said.
that's different than setting an expectation that every comment or every person who makes public testimony will get a response. It's maybe a little bit different, but different enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And it will tip the scales, right? I mean, the more, if we're saying everybody that comes and testifies is going to get a response, I mean, it's going to tip the scales in terms of where our focus and our time is spent, right?
Well, that's why I was saying that would drop everything else off our list, and we'd be having two meetings a month.
And a numbers competition between how many action we're taking city council for one group of people versus another group of people.
And that's actually something I haven't even realized until today, is that what position does that put us in then? Right. If we're responding to every person who's making public testimony.
Right, there's and way more to
they contradict it, right. And then,
and everyone should be entitled to the same response if we're going to give a response. Right.
Which is, as Kim said, that's, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the idea that we had about saying that commission members could say either to the whole group or to the executive committee, hey, this issue keeps coming up. This is the sixth time we've heard that. It ties directly to XYZ that we're going to be talking about. We need to elevate that topic.
Like the identifying accessible units.
Yeah,
is something
really
that would naturally gravitate towards, right? And I think that a lot of people in their own personal time off of the committee have actually done work on that issue because they realize it's such a void. You know, folks with disabilities that are prevented from identifying units that would give them full access is definitely something that we've heard repeatedly that should be addressed. And to be fair, you know, that a lot of what we've done is focused on two major ordinances, right? The FAIR Act and the tenant screening criteria and RELO and the security deposits. Mm-hmm. But our contributions have been significant, right? Like, I don't wanna write that off as like, we talked about it and nothing happened. The reason why so many versions were churned out of all of those different proposals was because of the robust dialogue that started in our committee that transitioned to the broader community as a whole. I'm not going to take full credit and say we did it, but we were a big part. We all kind of were able to inform other community stakeholders about why our respective organizations supported one part or opposed another part, and think about collectively the consequences of this policy. And that in and of itself is an accomplishment. So I like the idea of prioritizing giving responses to the things we're asked to give responses to.
So where do we go from here?
Yeah. So I typed up the discussion that you all had last time in the same format that I've been typing it out for consistency and for clarity. So if there's anything in there that you feel is mischaracterized, please let me know. I'm going to now, after this meeting, be transforming this into looking more like bylaws in terms of less bullet point and more prescriptive. And then I'll get that to you all to review before the materials go out, give you a chance. Probably won't be a full week, but at least a few days to review it and send in edits. And then that will be sent out to the entire commission to review so they can discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll specifically, for the process to assess topic ideas, I've written out some points from your conversation, and I'll run that by the executive committee. And so that will be in the materials when they get sent out to.
This is what we've decided for you, executive committee.
Well, this,
it's a suggestion and
it's
our advisory.
I think it's this is, I actually like it that way.
This is our recommendation. I think they like it that way too.
Yeah.
I don't think they want you to push another decision to them.
Cool.
So, good.
Okay.
So does everybody feel like they had a fair opportunity to chime in with, you know, the work of the subcommittee here? I want to make sure everyone feels like they can contribute.
Yep.
Yes.
Great.
Check.
Great. Staff, thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Okay. Well, that's all I had.
All right. Good work, folks.
Good to go.
Thank you all.
Yeah.
Does anybody want some NWPP propaganda?